Hi, this is Lori Moylove with the Limitless Podcast, and I have a special guest I'm very excited about. Her name is Phoenix, a good friend of mine. She's from San Diego and is just a true inspiration. Her story starts from being torn from her family, placed in foster care, surviving rape, abuse, life-threatening condition with brain surgery. And now Phoenix has found her way of turning these trials and tribulations into her triumph. And I'm just so excited to interview Phoenix today and talk all about creativity, because she has just been such a powerful voice in the community. Every community she touches, she waves her creative wand. And it's just an honor to be with a good, great friend of mine and to talk about creativity. One of the amazing books that you definitely have to read is one of Phoenix's books called Redefining Strong. And Phoenix, can you tell us a little bit about that and that story and the process of being an author and writing?
Yeah, well, Redefining Strong is a journey to finding yourself, true healing and spiritual recalibration. I wrote this a couple of years ago because I just been through a lot of shit. Can we cuss on your podcast?
Yeah, it's limitless. So you don't have to worry.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it was just after going through so much stuff, I used my story in order to help liberate other people. So by using my trials and situations that I've been through, it was a way for me to show other people how to get through theirs by using myself as an example. So that's pretty much what I did. And I created tools and worksheets, and I call them like soul sheets, where people can ask themselves questions and they can fill out things, you know, all the way from how to love yourself, like simple stuff. You know, like, you know, what are your core desired feelings? Like what makes you happy? Like just different things in there where it prompts. It's like a Socratic approach to like just learning more about yourself, you know, and knowing what you want.
And do you feel that like that kind of taps into creativity, being that we're all about limitless creativity? Do you feel like having those experiences kind of has tapped into your creativity? Because I consider you definitely a creative. Like, I just see you as a powerful force in creativity. So
thank you. Yeah. Okay. So when it comes to creativity, you know, I'm big on just do everything that you think about, do everything that you dream about, innovative. Like, so I'm all into creating whatever it is that you want for your life. And I say, try everything, you know, do everything that you want to do, be exactly who you want to be, try whatever you want to try, because you only get one life, you know, in essence, unless you come back in a past life or something, in a future life. But in this life, have as many experiences as you possibly can. And so with me having brain surgery, I remember having a moment where I was like, oh shit, I'm not going to be able to create the way I used to. Because that's what the doctors told me. They were like, you know, there's a high possibility you won't be able to put things together. And my whole life was being able to write and think and create and like come up with beautiful ideas. And that was being threatened. So that was the one thing that made me very scared, you know, because I wouldn't have wanted to live without being able to create.
Yeah.
Like if I had to live my life and I couldn't come up with any creative idea, I wouldn't want to be here. I'd be miserable.
Yeah, I feel, you know? Like, I think like everyone, I have a belief that everyone is a creator and a creative in their own right. And at some point and at some verge, there's maybe a teacher or someone who's telling them they're not creative. And then that kind of limits the boundaries that, like, just like you said, we can go, you can try anything, do anything, because we only got one life. So you better just go dream as big as possible and be as creative as possible.
Right.
One of my questions in that process of just even writing the book for you, how was that process? Did you have to, everyone has a different process in creativity, whether I know you also do shows and direct and you have amazing healing retreats. So how is the process for you? Because some of these creatives, they might need to have a roadmap, you know, and us, we help that.
Yeah. Okay. So I tried the roadmap, right? And the roadmap felt inauthentic for me. So I think when it comes to creating something, whether it be a book or idea, yeah, there's certain things that you could use to tools, but just do it how you want to do it, how your brain thinks. Like if you look through my book, it's very, I don't even know if my book's in here, but it's very different. You know what I'm saying? Like there's big words that pop out at random. There's, you know, big letters that just pop out at random for no reason other than I don't want to be bored while I'm writing. So I would make because super huge and then, you know, finish writing my paragraph or a big B or a big A just at random because that was my way of writing. Or either I would talk and I would write how I was talking. So I'm like, what? You know, and so I would spell like, what? And people would be like, oh, you misspelled. No, I didn't. I wrote like how I was talking. My book was a conversation. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I would say to people is to write for you, not for others, because when you start writing for others, it becomes inauthentic to you. And then some people will stop liking what they're creating because they're not creating from them. They're creating because of what they're creating from a space of what other people are expecting of them. And so I think it's better for you to do what you want to do for yourself so that you will love the work that you're creating. And I think that there's an audience for everybody that, you know, creates a body of work that's authentic to themselves. You do the same thing. You know, when I first met you, you were producing, you weren't rapping. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you said something about rapping to me and I was like, let me hear you. I was like, oh shit, she's rapping. And then it was so good.
Yeah.
Right. But it was different. It was authentic to you. If I would have said, oh, you should do it like this and you should do it like that. No, I put you with the weirdest person I knew that was great. You know, that was into that. Right.
Yeah.
And so if you didn't get a chance to be authentically yourself and someone tried to create you into something else, it wouldn't feel as good.
Yeah. It's,
you know,
I've been through that path of like, and that's the thing is when you're kind of as a creative, you're creating and you're creating just like you said for you and it comes from your source. And then when it doesn't feel authentic, it's just like, yeah, I don't know if I want to. It's kind of like someone giving you like a food that's not your like,
right,
that's not your fruit of choice. Like, oh, I don't like blueberries. Don't give me the blueberries. Like, no.
Right.
You know, so it's like it just, like you said, it's authenticity and creative and tapping into your creative self.
Start. Go ahead.
What are some of your ways? You just said go and start. Like, I mean,
yeah, I think you just need to start anywhere, mm-hmm. right? Some of the ways that I do it is I put on headphones with Music Without Words while I'm writing. Mm-hmm. It's not like I can just do it with just regular hearing music out loud, but I literally have to cover up my ears with music and then I can just take off writing. So that could be one way for somebody, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some people need to go away in nature. Like when I wrote my first book, I took a trip to Costa Rica and I wrote my book in Costa Rica where I was away from everybody and everything, you know? So that I could just hear, I didn't know what I was going to write. I just opened up my computer and I would just start writing, you know, because that was my intention. So I also think, yes, setting the intention, the time and space that you're going to do something. So if it's like at 10 o'clock, I'm waking up in the morning and my intention is to write, then it'll come to you, you know, because that's the intention that you're setting.
Wow. That's some powerful stuff. Like even just the headphone, I feel like that's like a trick that someone, I would even say I kind of do that too. When I was editing photos, right, I would just listen to music maybe with no words too. I'd listen to Dead Mouse or some EDM of just like getting in my own like head of like, okay, I'm going to edit these things viciously, right? So I feel like you kind of just have to get into that sense of flow. And I'm wondering, what are some of the ways that you get into flow? Like, do you meditate? Do you you know, ground yourself? Do you walk in nature? Like, what are some of the things that you do to help kind of get those creative juices going?
Hold one second.
Okay, no worries.
Okay, sorry about that. The way that I get my creative juices flowing and going, like you're saying, do I do meditation, something like that? It depends on the project that I'm working on. So sometimes I need to amp myself up. I need to calm myself down. So like if I'm doing, let's say, if I'm getting ready for a retreat and I need to come up with some ideas for a healing retreat, right? I'll go into meditation. I'll get my tea. I'll burn my incense. I will, you know, do psychedelic therapy or, you know, I might even do, let's say, microdosing on myself. I might, you know, blindfold myself. I may, whatever, mm-hmm. just to get into a very centered spiritual headspace.
I've never heard of this microdosing. I'm kind of curious a little bit more on that. Like, so you blindfold yourself for, and is it kind
microdosing is a psychedelic substance, but it doesn't cause a psychedelic effect when you take it, when you microdose. Mm-hmm. So there's no part to it.
Oh, okay.
It just, it's just down spiritual downloads that you start to get. Mm-hmm. And it helps you to focus in internally. So we'll talk more about that, but that's like, cause I'm a psychedelic therapist. So like those things are really, really good.
That's a new title that I mean, your author, producer, now a psychedelic therapist. You just always are doing amazing things, Phoenix. Wow.
Thank you. So I'll do that for healing stuff. If I need to get into a recording mode or music or dance, I will turn on dance music.
Also, like, were a showrunner and kind of helped create a show. How did that kind of start for you in that creative process?
Which show? Wait, which show?
There was the show on WeTV, and I know that you've done work at HBO and
Okay, DMT. So that was cool. I love being a producer and a director. I love creating content and, you know, working with other talented people. How that started was I was on a show on WeTV. So I had my own photography studio. I could film, edit. I have my own equipment already. And I already started filming and doing my own things. And then I ended up on a TV show as talent. And while I was there, I met Andrew Glassman. And we were just, you know, on set filming every day. It was like a 30-day thing. He would ask me, he's like, why are you here? You know, what do you really want to do? You don't really fit this. And I said, I know, I don't know why I'm here, you know, but really I was there to meet him, but I didn't know that, you know, at the time. And he was like, you know, what is it that you really want to do? I was like, I want to produce big shows. I don't want to just do YouTube or whatever. Like, I want to make big shows. I want to be a director and producer for big things. He's like, okay, well, when you leave the show, bring me what you got. And I was like, okay, whatever. Come to find out, he worked like 5 minutes from my house, the office.
Wow.
And I went over there, I sent him a message, and he said, sure, let's come in, let's have a meeting. And he's the owner of this production company. And so I go and I show him all of my stuff. And then I got a call, I want to say 2 weeks later. And they're like, are you available to go out of town for a month or two in 2 days? And so I just shut down my studio and I left. Wow. And I went to go shoot for Country Music Television. There was a show they were doing. Yeah. And that's how I started. And then it was HBO. And then it was WeTV and NBC, and it was VH1, and it just kept going from there.
And for maybe some aspiring producers that are tuning in and listening, what is some advice that you have for them on getting creative and getting their name or getting themselves out there for these opportunities?
Create and be prepared for the opportunity to arise. So like, had I not showed up to his office with just my simple basic stuff that I didn't think was going to be all that great to him, he loved it, you know? So I always tell people, like, you may not be in the situation that you want to be in. You may not have the camera that you want to have or the tools, but if you have a phone, you have a camera.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Create on your phone, edit on your phone, you know, take pictures and use all these apps and editing apps on your phone. I've taken some dope stuff with my phone, you know? Yeah. create content so that when someone asks you what you have, people can see talent and all you need is big equipment. They know the difference.
Yeah.
You know? And so, and I remember when I got there and I was in a meeting and he said, I want everybody to film like Phoenix. And I was so confused. I was like, huh? Yeah. You know, I was like, these people have filmed with like every network, but he liked my style. Yeah. He was just like, I don't want you to learn the rule book. I want you to just do you. Your way, the way you create. And that was so liberating for me because I got to freely create, you know, the way that I like to.
Wow. Yeah. No, I agree.
I'll forever be thankful to him for that.
Yeah. Cause that, like, I think that's the thing is, especially in leadership positions at the networks and studios and these production companies, especially with creatives, you kind of just have to set them free. They're going to do their thing and deliver. And I think sometimes in those higher up positions, they want to, you know, control as much as possible. But that's kind of when you lose that creative sauce, I guess.
Right. When you start trying to be and do what everyone else does, it's no longer creative. It's just a copy of someone else's stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I think like we were talking about earlier, that authenticity is so important. Like people want that fresh eye and that fresh energy and that different style and that different sound, you know, it's so refreshing when I see people who do that. It's so refreshing. And those are the ones that are memorable. Otherwise you just sound like, write like, you know, produce like, film like everybody else. Yeah. What makes you different? You just being you is what makes you different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I definitely feel creatives also then tap into maybe inspirations and stuff. Can you speak maybe on that, like how to tap into some inspirations, but also still be genuinely authentically yourself?
Of course, everything is inspiration. Everybody I see that's doing something great, that's in the lane that I'm in, that I love, it's inspiring me to do my own shit, my own way, and maybe look at what you've done and be like, dang, how can I do that my own way? Mm-hmm. You know, because there's a fine line between imitation and inspiration, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Some people who just straight up copy, mm-hmm. or some people who just like, this picture inspired me. So I'm going to take this picture and I'm going to use this inspiration for my retreat, but I'm going to switch it up and make it into my own thing, mm-hmm. you know, but this inspires me. And so that's how you do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I know that like now your next step has been, you have this healing retreat and this program and now people come to see you and you're in Mexico, correct? And didn't you start a whole facility, a healing facility from the ground
out here? Yeah, I was, no, not from the ground up here. Okay. I'm a co-owner of a healing center here, but I'm also opening my own. Wow. It's called the Sacred Celestial, mm-hmm. Where we do retreats, we do events, we do trainings, we do everything you could think of mm-hmm. with this Sacred Celestial. We also do psychedelic therapy, mm-hmm. Group therapy, and we just, you know. We actually do it in America too. Mm. So we roam around. We do some stuff here and some stuff in America.
Very cool. So. Yeah. And how do you correlate healing, like the healing process in correlation to creativity? Because I know there's several poets, writers, actors, painters that kind of channel some of their pain, but they transform it into beautiful art. Can you speak on, you know, that process and maybe in your healing retreats, stuff that tools you use?
So turning their pain into creativity. Mm-hmm. I think most people do that. Right? I think most people use their creativity as therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, their songs and their lyrics. Like, how many songs do you hear that are about so much pain and turmoil? You know, some people use their creativity to express joy that they never got to express to. Mm-hmm. Explore and expand, you know, with, you know, without having limits, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that creativity is healing. is healing in itself. Yeah. I think when you're at your lowest point, anybody, if you just start creating something that you love, you won't stay that low very long.
Yeah.
Every single person I've known that just starts doing something they love in the midst of being depressed or sad or down or whatever it is, mm-hmm. they tend to rise up out of it because they start doing something creative that they actually love to do.
Wow. That's a gem right there, because I definitely feel that's a lot of truth to that. Cause, you know, especially during these times, it's been kind of, I know for myself, I've been on an emotional roller coaster. And I think everyone has since 2020. And definitely when you do something you love, it boosts your energy and everything about it. And I think that's what's so beautiful about creativity, is you can kind of transform these parts that might not look so pretty into something beautiful, you know, and you never know who it then can inspire too.
Somebody needs what you have to offer, right? Yeah. And it could be just even relating to me in my lowest points, mm-hmm. right? Just understanding me, just for somebody to understand what I'm going through. And if a song comes on the radio and it just tells my story for me, you know, I can feel it, you know, I'm just like into it, you know what I'm saying? Or like, if something comes that lifts you out of where you were, if you paint something and it's like, wow, I don't know how I just painted that. Or wow, I don't know how I just came up with that idea. That idea is not only going to help me, it's going to help everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's a relatable thing. You know, it's something that, like, there's something you need. I mean, there's something that you have that somebody else needs.
Very
true. And those things often inspire us the most, when we can be a blessing to somebody else or to inspire somebody else. I think that's super cool.
Talking about inspiration, I know for me, you definitely inspire me, because I was reading an article about you and it said you're a mompreneur. And I was like, what? I never even heard this mompreneur thing. And I was like, wow. And Phoenix, you now have also an additional little one. So how do you balance? I guess the thing is, there's moms who want to be just as creative as you. Is there any advice for those moms that you can give them of like, hey, you know, block out your creative time? I don't know. What is the advice you have for some of these mompreneurs that are just like you?
I used to say balance, right? But I really think that's some bullshit at this point. Because when you have children, all you can do is the best you can with the time you have, right?
Yeah.
At some point, you might not be as available. You know what I mean? At some point, you are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It just doing the best you can with what you have, with the time that you have when you have it. Mm-hmm. So however you can fit in what you need to fit in for yourself, creating some boundaries, you know, understanding when you need to take a break before you break, understanding when you need to, I really think, honestly, and me and my partner were talking about this, parents need to take time off from being parents. Literally, they need to take a week or so, a week or two, and go somewhere, swap off, where literally I'm not a wife, I'm not a parent, I'm not doing the bills, I'm not responsible for the house. I can just go off and just work on my own shit uninterrupted.
Yeah.
I think that is so good for your mental health, for both partners. You know what I mean? For the kids, for everybody. Come back refreshed and you feel like you got a piece of yourself to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to just be completely 100% devoted to yourself, your dreams, your ideas, without splitting your attention in so many different directions. Because as a mom, my brain is like having 100 tabs open, right? Of the never ending to-do list. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But finding time in between to just do the things that I need to do between my work and my purpose and as a mother and the things that I need to take care of and stuff I want to create and making sure I have time as a partner and like dinner and clothes and like all this stuff. It's like, you got to find ways to offset.
Yeah. So it's
you
kind
know
of
what I'm
that you
saying?
time. You got to find that you time. It's like a you retreat just for you. Yeah.
It's just a you thing. And and I know it might sound bad to others, but it sounds glorious to me. It's like, I get 2 weeks off where I literally don't have to like worry about the kids. I don't have to worry about the house. And everybody may not have that luxury or a partner that will do that. But even if you can get a babysitter, you know, to give you 5 or 6 hours. That's the only reason why I'm able to do this interview right now.
Yeah.
It's because, you know, I have someone who I trust who is entertained. I call it a baby engager. So I don't have a babysitter, but a baby engager, because he needs to be engaged the whole time. Yeah. He doesn't watch TV. He doesn't play video games.
Yeah.
You are literally talking and interacting with my child all day. And so, so he has somebody who...
That's a lot of energy with the little.
They're ones. Young though, so they keep up with them.
Oh, okay.
But like that also gives me more time, so that when he comes home, all my time goes to him. And he's not like he's gone. He's not at a daycare center. He's literally running around outside somewhere with her, you know, for the last couple of hours.
Yeah.
And so, but when he gets in, I'm like, Genesis, you know, like I have had enough time to recalibrate my brain to be able to just, now it's your time after 6. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's only me and you after 6. There is no more interruptions until you fall asleep.
Wow.
And so, but it gives me the space to be able to do that. So now I'm more present for him, instead of, you know, moms who are so tired and overworked and like, don't have no breaks. And then when the kids are around, they don't really have much patience for them because they're already overwhelmed. They're at capacity. They don't have anything left.
Yeah.
You know, so it's finding ways where you can offset some things. If you can afford to get somebody to even do the laundry, laundry takes forever when you have kids. It's never ending. So like just paying somebody just to come over once a week, or to send your clothes out once, you know, in Mexico is a little different. They come get your clothes and drop it off.
Oh, wow.
For like $30. So it's not, but it's like $30. It's not expensive at all. So it's like, why not take advantage of that service if it's only 30 bucks?
I'd be over there in a heartbeat if I could get rid of the laundry situation. But yeah, wow.
Telling you, they come pick it up. We put it in the bags and they bring it back the next day, and it's already folded and everything. And so that has helped out with a lot of time. Otherwise, I'll be washing clothes for hours.
Yeah.
Like 2 kids, 4 of us, and I'll be washing clothes for forever.
Yeah.
And so that was one of my pet peeves. I get rid of triggers. I get rid of little things that exhaust me. It's the little tiny things that exhaust me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, even dinner, right? If I used to cook dinner every single day, but if I'm tired, somebody else in the house cooks dinner. Shamir cooks dinner, or Martin cooks dinner. So like we switch out on who cooks dinner. You know, we switch out on who washes the dishes. It just depends on what's going on in the house, so that no one person is just doing everything. So people got to learn how to offset and, you know, designate things to other people.
Yeah.
But there's a way.
I think like it's definitely like a shared, you know, having shared roles and communicating. And I think like that's the key thing. It seems like you're in a great environment where you guys communicate perfectly on the things, like, and just like you said, certain things that trigger you, you're like, sending the laundry out. And that's like, I think, an essential thing to staying in your flow, right? And this limitless is all about creativity and staying in that creative realm. Is there any last things you'd like to give as inspiration or words to help others tap into their limitlessness and themselves and in this whole you retreat, you know?
I think the best advice I can say is it's very hard to create when you're scattered. Mm. It's very hard to create when you're unclear.
Yeah.
You know, so I say get to a place where you're grounded. And sometimes that requires separation. So that means to set your phone down, taking a walk, taking a bath, just watching a movie on your computer, like just detaching from your environment sometimes to just let your brain breathe and not trying so hard to be or do anything. I think when you just try so hard, it deactivates creativity. It deactivates authenticity. And so I've started to tap into this just being. And then when the creative ideas start flowing, then I'm in it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I grab onto it. It's like, okay, cool. But you want to create from that clear space, you know, not the cloudy space.
Yeah.
And not the trying so hard space. It's just create from love.
Yeah.
Instead of lack.
That's beautiful. I love that. Yeah. Create from love. And I guess the biggest takeaway from today and Phoenix is, you know, just add more love and give love, share love. And it's all about love because it's limitless. And that helps with your source of creativity. So thanks so much for being on the podcast with me. I so appreciate you.
I love you so much.
Same. I'm so glad we could inspire a bunch of amazing folks who are doing some great creative work. So thank you so much. And tune in for the next. And today's was dedicated to an amazing author. His name is Sir Ken Robinson, and he has a book about creativity, and I highly suggest it. The book, let me get the book's name. If you're not tapping into, you definitely have to tap into Redefining Strong, which is Phoenix's book, and also get Ken's book, which is Out of Our Minds, The Power of Being Creative. So I guess we're limitless when we're out of our minds and we're just tapping into creativity and love. So thank you for joining, and we will have another amazing episode soon. Thanks, Phoenix.
Thank you. Bye.